Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, we continue our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And we've seen so many great truths from this study. And in fact, we're seeing things that not only do we need to know and understand, but also to apply in our lives. We're seeing truths dealing with sin and salvation and the work of Christ and how He died and rose again, His payment for our sins and God's grace in His plan to bring us to Himself. As we continue this morning, we are seeing in this section a great contrast, a contrast between Adam and Christ. And Adam is sometimes in the Bible called the first Adam. And what we see there is transgression, and He brings sin and death and condemnation. And then there's Christ, and sometimes He is called the second Adam, and there's His gift of His death and resurrection, and it brings life and righteousness. So this morning, as we finish chapter 5, we'll look at verses 15 through 21. As we finish, we're going to continue seeing this contrast in Adam, sin and death, in Christ, life and righteousness. We need to understand all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ as we see this contrast and realize the gift of eternal life, which is just by faith in Jesus Christ, which comes to us from God. There's a lot this morning as we study our passage. Well, you know, when you think about the Bible, it is the greatest book ever written. It is the God's Word in a written form. It is from God to man through man. It is called the Book of Books, 66 different books, but all with one central theme, and that central theme is the perfect God brings sinful man back to Himself using His Son, Jesus Christ. This is called the Good News, the Gospel message. It's found in God's Word. It's important for people to realize their need of a Savior, to understand that we're fallen, that we're separated from God, and we need a Savior to bring us to God. It's important for us to realize that. In Romans, we've seen this truth. Now think about what we've seen. In chapters 1, 2, and the first part of chapter 3, we have seen that there's a problem, there's a need there, and that problem is that we're all sinners and fall short of God's glory. Whether you're bad, you're good, or religious, doesn't matter. None of us measure up. Then, in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book of Romans, we saw the solution to the problem, and that is God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to pay for our sins, to be buried and rise again, and whoever believes in Him has eternal life. We're justified and declared right simply by faith. Well, as we continue in chapter 5, Paul goes on to give us more information concerning our need and his solution. In our passage this morning, he is teaching by way of contrast. Now, we started last week on this, so you'll remember the contrast is between Adam and Christ. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are alive. In Adam, we find the need. In Christ, we find the solution. We began seeing this last time, and we'll finish it in verses 15 through 21 this morning. The contrast between two men, two heads, two results. To help us look at this, now I put up a chart last time, and I want you to see the contrast between Adam and Christ. Let's put the chart back up, and I want you to see it. Let's think about it. We talked about Adam was over here and Christ is here. Sometimes the Bible calls Adam the first Adam, and sometimes the Bible calls Christ the second Adam. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are alive. Adam was from the earth. Jesus from the heavens. Adam is part of the old creation. In Christ, there's the new creation. Adam was tested in the garden, and he failed. Christ was tested in the wilderness, and he passed. In Adam, there's transgression. In Christ, there is the gift. In Adam, there is death, but in Christ, there's life. In Adam, there's sin, but in Christ, there's righteousness. In Adam, there's condemnation. In Christ, there's justification. In Adam, there's disobedience. In Christ, there is obedience. It goes on. The next slide shows in Adam, death reigns. In Christ, life reigns. In Adam, there is eternal separation. In Christ, there is eternal life. And the truth there is the entire human race is either in Adam and his death or in Christ. And it shouldn't say Christ's life. It says in Christ and his life. And that's true. Every human being is in one or the other. And so as we look this morning, I want you to think about it. Where are you? Are you found in Adam? Death and eternal separation? Are you found in Christ? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. Adam brings death, Christ brings life. In Adam there's the problem and the need. In Christ there's the solution and the gift. So as you think about that this morning, as we start chapter 5, or as we are continuing chapter 5, we're going to finish it this morning. Let me give you the flow of the passage. In Romans chapter 5, it began this way. It talked about the results of salvation. It says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, access to God, and the hope of God. That's what we saw in Romans chapter 5 at the beginning. Then a little bit later on in the passage, he talked about what God has done for us. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love toward us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. He said, now I just want you to know how much God loves you, that while we we were sinners, Christ died in our place as our substitute. Then we saw last week when we got to verses 12, 13, and 14, it's really powerful because we say the reason for our problem. In Adam, we all sinned. The verse says in Romans 5, 12, through one man, Adam, sinned into the world in death by sin, death passed upon all, for all sinned. And what that really means is that when Adam was in the garden and when he ate the fruit and disobeyed God, because we were inside Adam, in a sense, we were still inside of him. He is the head of the human race and we were in him. When he sinned, we sinned. And the bottom line is, in Adam, all die. There is sin passed to everyone. In fact, it says, therefore, it's just through one man, sin entered the world, death by sin, death spread to all, and then it says, all sinned. We all sinned in Adam. Now, that's bad. That's bad news. And in Adam, there is sin and death and eternal separation. But God has a plan. In Adam, there's the need. In Christ, there's the solution. In Jesus Christ, we have life, and that's simply by faith. Now, in beginning this morning, verses 15 through 21, we're going to see the contrast between Adam and Christ. And that chart that I put up for you, that's really based off Romans chapter 5. We'll see that as we go through. Think about this. Adam, his transgression, his sin brings death. Death reigns. Dead people walking. Do you remember we talked last week about the movie The Sixth Sense? And I just mentioned that in that movie, that little boy looks at Bruce Willis and says, I see dead people, but they don't know that they're dead. And it's true. As we walk out these doors and we go into this world, we see dead people. And they don't know that they're dead. Everyone comes into this world dead in trespasses and sins. It is dead people walking. In Adam, there's death reigning. But in Christ, there is life reigning. Now, I want you to think about something. Everyone comes into this world already dead people walking. The only hope we have is Jesus. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you pass from death to life. And then you're live people walking because you're spiritually alive. We'll see it as we go through the passage. So it's pretty powerful. Think about yourself. I know a lot of you in this room, but I don't know all of you. Where are you? In Adam or in Christ? Let's see what he says. He gives us the contrast. Look at verse 15, Romans chapter 5. He says, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Now he starts by this, and he wants to make sure we understand. He says, the free gift is not like the transgression. He says they're two different things. The free gift is what Jesus Christ did. That's how he came and he died on the cross and paid for sin and gives us life. He says, that's not like the transgression. The transgression is Adam's sin. So it's not, he says, they're going to be a great contrast. They're not the same thing. The free gift is not like the transgression. They're opposites. One brings life, that's the gift. The other brings death, that's the transgression. Notice something at the start, and I love this. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the transgression. Notice he says, the free gift. The free gift. It cost us nothing. There's so many people get confused. Salvation is a gift, and it costs us absolutely nothing. I want you to realize that salvation is when we trust in Christ as our Savior. It's not us making Jesus the Lord of our lives. It's not turning away from sin. It's not getting baptized. It's not joining the church. It's not walking down an aisle. It's not making a public profession. It's not any of those things. It's not by our works which we have done. It's not by works of righteousness which we're saved. It is through the mercy of God and by faith in Jesus Christ we have eternal life. It's that simple. So he says, notice, the free gift is not like the transgression. Now, he begins the contrast. Watch what he does. We'll go fairly quickly through these verses because we saw some of these last week and we'll just see the flow. He says, for if by the transgression of the one, the many died. Now, he starts off by saying, if by the transgression of the one is Adam, when Adam sinned, the many died. Now, by the way, in the Greek, the way it's put when he says the many, he's not saying just a certain group of people. He's talking about all people, the many, all of them. He says, by one sin, by the transgression of this one man, Adam, all people died. That's what Romans 5:12 says a little bit earlier. He says the same thing. All sinned, all died. Now, notice the contrast. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more, here's the contrast, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. See, the grace of God is Jesus dying on the cross and paying for sin, and this gift is himself. Jesus Christ sent, God sent his son to die for us, and he says it abounds to many. See, in Adam's sin, there's death, and Christ's gift, there's life. See, the wages of sin is death, and it always brings death, but the gift of God always brings life. And so he says that here's the contrast. One brought death, one brings life. That's the first thing. There's a second one, and he goes on in verse 16. Notice what he says. The gift is not like that which comes through the one who sinned. He goes the same thing again. He says the gift and the sin are not the same thing. He says, for on the one hand, watch how he says it, on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. He said, now on one hand, there's judgment to people because with that one sin brought condemnation. Do you know what condemnation is? Condemnation is separation from God. When it talks about being condemned, people used to say condemned to hell. That means separated from God forever. He says in this passage, he says that one transgression resulted in condemnation. Condemnation means being separated from God. Now think about John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, not be condemned, but have everlasting life. Then he goes on to say, for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn people. He says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And then he goes on and says, whoever believes is not condemned, but he believes not is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemnation. He says, through the one sin of Adam, judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. That's all people. But notice, here's the contrast. But on the other hand, the free gift, there it is again, free gift. You know, all gifts are free. But he really wants to emphasize it by saying free gift. He could just say the gift, because if you have to do anything for it, it's no longer a gift. It's the free gift. He says, but the free gift arose from many transgressions because of all the sins of people, resulting in justification. Justification means to be declared right. How can a person be justified? The Bible tells us over and over we're justified by faith. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, they are justified. Now look at the contrast. On one, there's condemnation. It's Adam. The other, Christ, there is justification. We're declared right with God. Now, there's death and life. There's condemnation. There's justification and righteousness. Look at verse 17. He gives another one. Now, you could say he's saying the same thing over and over. Yes, he is. He's going to say it for five straight verses. He's going to say, in Adam, there's death. In Christ, there's life. In Adam, there's condemnation. In Christ, there's justification. In Adam, death reigns. In Christ, life reigns. That's what he's saying. He just wants us to see it. Look at verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one, that's Adam, death reigned through the one. Death reigns. It is a kingdom of death. We live in a world of death. We walk out these doors, and the people that we see, the people we our neighbors, our next-door neighbors, the people we work with, the people we do things with, the people we see in the shopping centers and the people we go, anything we go, those are dead people walking because death reigns. Every child, even that sweet one right there, every child that comes into this world is dead. Dead in sin. Every human being comes into this world dead. That's why he says, by the transgression of the one, Adam, death reigned. Oh, I'm glad it doesn't stop there, but he says, much more, even better. Here's the contrast. Those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Life will reign through the one, Jesus Christ. Now look at the contrast. Death reigns through the transgression of Adam, but those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, there's life reigning through Jesus Christ. How do you receive it? It's by faith. The gift and the grace of God brings righteousness and it reigns in Jesus Christ. There is life reigning. In Adam, death reigns. Dead people walking. In Christ, life reigns. Live people walking. Every one of us in this room who have trusted in Christ, you are in Christ. Any man be in Christ, you're a new creation. You were dead, but now you're alive. You are live people walking. We live in a world in which there's dead people walking. In Adam, death reigns. In Christ, life reigns. Now, he says in this, they get the gift of righteousness, which will reign in life, or life reigns through Jesus Christ. Now, how in the world do we get that gift of righteousness? There are really two things I want you to think about. Number one, you must receive it. And you receive it by faith. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in His name. When we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we receive the gift of righteousness. Righteousness comes simply by faith. Romans 4:5, but the one who does not work but believes, his faith is counted for righteousness. So we receive it by faith. And you know, it's so wonderful because all the way through the Bible, I mean all the way through, from the beginning to the end, salvation is always by faith. It's not by works. It's never by what we do. It's never by what we keep doing. It is simply by faith. So He says we receive it by faith. And then there's a second part to this. It is only through Christ. He says we receive the gift of righteousness, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved except Jesus Christ. There is only one Savior and one way to God and one way to have life, and that's Christ. It's either Adam or it's Christ. There are no others. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So He says, there's death and life, there's condemnation and justification, there's death reigning, there's life reigning. Beginning in verse 18, He sort of begins to sum it up because He's going to talk a little bit more in verses 18 and 19. Look how He does it. He says, So then, here's sort of His little summary. So then, as through one transgression, through one sin, there resulted condemnation to all men. Through the one transgression of Adam, everybody was condemned. Even so, here's the contrast. Through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Now, He says one act of righteousness. What was the righteous act? The righteous act was Jesus Christ leaving the glories of heaven and becoming a person. I mean, do you realize at exactly the right time, according to Galatians 4:4, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and became a human being? This righteous act was to live perfectly on this earth as a human being, never sinned, and then to die in our place on the cross. That's His righteous act. He fulfilled the will of the Father. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father was the Son to come and die in our place. Father came up with a plan, the Son carried out the plan, the Holy Spirit revealed the plan. The Father said, I will send the Son. The Son said, I'm willing to come and give my life to die for mankind. That's the righteous act. He says, by one righteous act resulted in justification. See, Jesus Christ died in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. 1 Peter says, Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust. It's fantastic. Now, I want you to understand that in this passage, the key word is one. One man, one act, one end. One man is Adam, one man Christ. One act is sin, one act is gift. One end is death, one end is life. It's used 11 times. When you put this together, and that's one reason I'm trying to put it all together in one day, 15 through 21, so you can see He's making a contrast on purpose. Just so you can say, ooh, we don't want to be in Adam. We come that way, but we got to get out of Adam. How do we get out of Adam? We got to get in Christ. It's by faith. He goes on to explain. And by the way, when it says it's through Jesus Christ, and He says this one transgression brought death and condemnation, one act of righteousness resulted in justification to all men. All people can have life. It's possible through Jesus Christ. All who are condemned, us, can have life. Now, this is why Jesus is the Savior. We're not saved because of what we do. Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that died. He's the one that rose again. He's the one that gives life. People get confused. You talk to people and you say, you're going to heaven? And they say, yeah, I'm pretty sure I am. How come? Well, you know, I try to live a good life. They think they're the Savior. They think by living a good life, God will take them to heaven. One sin, you're eliminated. You've got to have a Savior. You got to, because you're in Adam, dead. You got to have life, and that's only in Christ. That's why He's the Savior. Notice what He goes on to say in verse 19. He explains a little bit more. He says, for as through the one man's disobedience, that's Adam and his rejection of God and eating the fruit and moving away, through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. All people became sinners. Notice, even so, here's the contrast, through the obedience of the one, as Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Any human being who comes to God by faith will have God's righteousness. One man's disobedience brings death to all. One man's obedience can bring life to all. It's powerful. Adam's sins, transgressions, disobedience, condemnation, death reigns. Dead people walking. Christ's gift and obedience and righteousness and justification, life reigns. Live people walking. Are you in Adam? Dead people walking? Are you in Christ? Live people walking. Now he stops right here and he does something a little bit unique. In verse 20 he talks about the law. I think the reason he does that is because a lot of people begin to say, okay, so you're saying that it's just faith in Christ, then why would God give this law? Because a lot of people are confused on the law. We saw back in Romans chapter 3, he made it very clear that nobody can be saved by the law, that the purpose of the law is to show you that you're a sinner. When you look in the law, it shows you that you can't measure up. We're going to find in verse 20, there's another aspect of the law you may not have thought of. Notice what it says. It says, the law came in so that the transgression would increase. Now, do you understand what he just said? He says that when there is law, it causes people to sin. Now, there's nothing wrong with the law. The law is perfect. The law is the character of God. But human beings are sinful. We have what's called the flesh and the bent to do wrong. Whenever there is a set of rules or laws put out in front of us, we choose every time to sin, to go against it. Our nature is, don't tell me what to do. Speed limit's 55. What are we going to drive? 56. Right? Because nobody's going to tell me I have to stay right on 55. Let me tell you, you walk by a place and there's it says, do not look through this hole. What are you going to do? You're going, nobody's going to tell me that I can't look through a hole. Anytime there is law, rules always cause you to sin. That's why the Christian life is not a set of rules. You look in the New Testament, the Bible doesn't say Christian life is a bunch of rules. It says you live in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Scripture. It's not a bunch of rules. Now, there are a lot of Christians who think the Christian life is rules. That's why they struggle all the time, because every time you give them a set of rules to go by, the natural flesh says, I'm going to break those things. I'm not going to do that. In Mississippi Gulf Coast, there was a hurricane called Camille. It hit about in the early 70s. And, of course, I was living in Mississippi in those days. And I had a friend that lived on the Gulf Coast and actually worked. And they had this big Holiday Inn built there, and it got wiped out by Camille. But he said that when they built the Holiday Inn, after they got it built, it was all these stories. And actually, it kind of leaned over, and you could look out into to the Gulf of Mexico. Could look out of the water. The hotel had been open for about 2 months. And then somebody got this idea, and they said, you know, what if people start going out on their balconies and trying to fish over, and you know, some things could come back and they could break the windows. Maybe we better put up some signs that say no fishing off of the balconies. Now, I want you to understand, there had never been any signs there. Nobody had ever fished off the balconies, ever. So they put the signs up. What do you think happened? People began to fish off of the balconies. Because that's what law does. He says, law came in so that transgression would increase. Now, the law was not given to make you sin, but the law, because of our flesh, the law is perfect, and our flesh rebels against law. So he's saying that the law, in a sense, when we see it, the law is God's character, and it's perfect. The law was not given to us to make us do right. The law was given to us to show us that we're wrong. That's the purpose of the law. Now, here's my favorite part. Look what he says. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, and every time there's law and every time there's anything, it's going to increase and get more and more and more. Where sin increased, literally where sin abounded, grace superabounded all the more. See, wherever there's sin, there's grace. There's more grace than there is sin. You can have 50 sins, you're going to have 51 grace. It's going to always be more grace of God than there is sin. It's always the way it is. Grace of God covers and deals with sin. This passage, literally in the Greek, says where sin abounded, grace superabounded. There are people who say, but you just don't know how bad I am. You don't know all the sins that I've done. It doesn't make no difference whatsoever. The grace of God covers every sin. No matter how many sins there are, there's going to always be more grace. It's going to always cover it. Where sin abounds, the grace of God superabounds. That's why we sang that song, grace that is greater than all our sin. It's always greater than our sin. So look what he said. Where sin abounded, grace superabounds. You can never say, I'm too bad. You don't know all that I've done. God does, and he's covered it all. He's paid for it all, and his grace is just piled over that. There's always the grace of God. Look at the last verse. He puts it all together. So that, here's his end result. So that, as sin reigned in death, and that's what, when Adam sinned, it reigned in death. Dead people walking. There's spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death because of sin. Now watch. Just as sin reigned in death, even so, grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life, is so much in this verse, to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says sin brought death, but grace will reign through righteousness that brings eternal life. And how is it? It's through Jesus Christ. Righteousness always comes by faith, and it always results in eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ. You know, that's what the offer is. Jesus Christ does not offer you happy life, a successful life, a full life. He offers you eternal life. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. John 10:28, I give you eternal life and you will never perish. John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. The offer from God to everyone in this world is not a good life or a happy life or a rich life. It is eternal life simply by faith. He says, death reigned through sin. Grace and reign of righteousness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a gift through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the one that gives us life. He takes us from death to life. Mark Bailey, president of Dallas Seminary, said this. He said, when you look at this passage, two men, Adam and Christ, two acts, that transgression and the gift, two results, condemnation and death, justification and life, where there's sin, grace abounds, and two kingdoms, a kingdom of death reigning and a kingdom of life reigning. Now, put that chart up real quickly one more time. Think about it. There's Adam and Christ. In Adam, there's death. In Christ, there's life. There, look down there. Transgression and gift, death and life, sin, righteousness, condemnation, justification, disobedience, obedience. Death reigns, dead people walking. Life reigns, live people walking. Eternal separation, eternal life. Where are you? In Adam, in Christ. The gift of Jesus Christ, what we've seen this morning, the gift of Christ and the transgression of Adam are not the same. There's a contrast. The transgression of Adam brings sin, death, and separation. The gift of Jesus Christ brings life, righteousness, and eternal life. By faith in Christ, based on the grace of God, we have eternal life. Let me give you a couple of applications very quickly. The first one is realize the contrast from being in Adam or being in Christ. Realize that contrast. In Adam, all die. There's condemnation and death reigns and eternal separation. In Christ, all are made alive. There's righteousness, justification, and life. Where are you this morning? In Adam or in Christ? I hope and pray every one of you are in Christ. I read this the other day, a joke about a man. It says, a man's life is made up of the first 20 years of his mother asking him where he's going, the next 40 years of his wife asking him where he's been, and then 1 hour at his funeral where everyone is wondering where he's going. If you're in Adam, there's death, separation. If you're in Christ, there's life. Now, the truth is, we all come into this world in Adam, and we did. So how do we get to Christ? That's number two. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are in Christ, and we have eternal life. He came, he died on the cross, he paid for our sins, he took our place. We received the gift of eternal life simply by faith. There is no other way. A says, the law is good, but law shows our sin and results in sin. The law is the character of God. The law is perfect, but the law can't save you because the law shows you you're a sinner and actually results in you sinning. So when people look to the law and say, well, I'm going to try to be good, they don't understand. The law, the Mosaic law, is 622 commands. The top 10, people look at, nobody's kept the top 10, more or less the other 600 and something. Law is good. It's the character of God, but it shows our sin and results in sin. And B, by faith in Christ, we have the gift of eternal life and righteousness. It's that simple. Calvin said this. He said, you know, we're saved by grace. It's not our merits. It's not our works. Realize that our salvation is very costly. Costly to God, cost him his son. To us, it cost absolutely nothing. It is a gift. may we proclaim to others that by faith in Jesus Christ, we pass from death and separation in Adam to life and righteousness in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage and the things that are there and that you show us. And Lord, we realize that what a contrast to being in Adam and in Christ. And Lord, we realize that in Adam all die. There's condemnation and death reigns and dead people walking and all of this. But in Christ, all are made alive and justification and life and live people. And Lord, we realize that we come into this world dead in Adam and sin. Thank you that by faith in Jesus Christ, we are placed in Christ. We are new creations in Christ. We are made alive, and we're live people walking. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray if there's one person in this room that has never trusted in Christ, that today, right now, right where they're sitting, they'll put their faith in Christ, and they'll go from being in Adam to being in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for these great truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.